Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome!
The big shot of the night is brought to you by WFAN and me, Keith McPherson. Bright lights, big city. New York's got a bunch of big shots. But the first big shot of the night has to go to Los Carlos Rodon. Surprised the hell out of me. I mean, with the Yankees' backs against the wall, potentially getting swept, I'm like, he might revert back to being feeble, being weak, and nope. He had everything going. He was cool, calm, and collected. He went 7 innings, only giving up 4 hits, 1 run, Cody Bellinger, that ball skipped past him. Maybe he doesn't even give that up. 8 Ks, 2 walks, and I'm like, okay, this is the Carlos Rodon we literally need without Gerrit Cole. Honorable mention to the captain, Aaron Judge, who had 2 hits and a ribby. Paul Goldschmidt, Goldie Knox with 3 hits and 2 RBI. And, I mean, let's give a nod to Brett Beatty. Brett Beatty hitting a 2-run shot off of former Met Zach Wheeler, basically making a statement, I'm not leaving. I want to be here. You've given me opportunities. I want to stay. And then even Starling Marte with the Marte Partey driving in the winning run in 10 innings for the Mets to sweep the Phillies. 888-808-1019. Now, shout out to Val in the Bronx. You know, Val is a loyal WFAN listener, and he's a night crawler like me and like Big Mac. I hear his calls to Big Mac in the middle of the night, and he calls me, and I let him run because I know he's a fan of multiple New York teams, and he's always got some kind of insight. And I mean, he gave us a lot there before the break. But going backwards, you know, because we're going to start some of the Knicks conversation after 12, and we're going to start some of the NFL draft conversation in this third hour. We went Mets first hour, Yankees second hour. Here comes the G-Men and the Jets. Jets fans, are you feeling good about, like, not having that much conversation around you? I think it's better that you fly under the radar. Let all the conversation be about the Giants. But anyway, with Val talking about the Knicks, I liked the analogy he made from, like, basic training to Navy SEAL training. All season we heard that the Knicks couldn't beat elite teams, that they were 0-8 against the elite teams. The Pistons aren't in that group. And even though the Pistons bested them, the Pistons are younger, with less experience, with a coach who the Knicks coach has defeated before. Shout out to Dre for sending me the last time. It was Cavs, Knicks in a couple years ago. And the Knicks lost the second game, and then they didn't lose another game. Tom Thibodeau is collecting data. He's preparing, and he's going to show us some different looks, and he's going to show them different looks. It's a series. When you're playing the same team every game, it changes. And the Knicks almost had him in the second game. They just didn't have enough down the stretch because they gave you a different look. It wasn't campaign. It was Mikal Bridges, and Mikal Bridges had a better game, so they were relying on the hot hand. Mikal Bridges had some opportunities to hit some shots. He couldn't hit the shots. Dennis Schroeder hit his shot. And I guarantee you, right? And as Val said, he expected the energy from that 21-0 run in the fourth quarter to carry over into the first quarter of game two. I guarantee you the Knicks come out with a different energy because you can't play from behind. It is not a good strategy to just think that you can turn it on at the end of the game, to never really have a lead. You got to go on some runs. You got to dominate. You got to play physical, especially in Detroit. I think that they need to go on the road. They need to be the visiting team. They need to feel the other fan base and how excited they are in Detroit. You know, sometimes that gets the best out of players. They just want to hush the crowd. And as you recall, in the end of the regular season, when the Knicks went there without OG, without Mitchell Robinson, without Josh Hart, they played a close game with the Pistons, and their fans were on one. They were trash-talking Landry Shamet, and, you know, the building was excited. So there's going to be a lot of that tomorrow night. Maybe that fires the Knicks up to get going and for other guys to get going and be more assertive, not just Jalen Brunson. Wouldn't you love to see Karl-Anthony Towns come out cooking like he did in that game, right? Wouldn't you love to see OG get back into his offensive bag and then in the fourth quarter let Jalen Brunson be the closer? And whoever else steps up and has it going, close with him. But ultimately, you want the ball in Brunson's hands. But he's compromised with the ankle, and we'll talk more about the Knicks. But that was just going back to what Val had to say and what I was saying about, like, you know, it's a series, man. You can lose up to three games in the series and still advance. It doesn't bode well for the second round, as you just heard. You know, the Celtics, they're probably going to sweep the Magic, and they're going to be feet up chilling. But the Knicks can't lose to the Pistons. They got to be more desperate than the Pistons because their coach's job is on the line. And a shakeup of this team is on the line. Oh, they're about to get KD now. KD don't want to play for the Knicks. Why would you want somebody that doesn't want you? 888-808-1019, as we will get some calls from Knicks fans, but I'm talking Yankees still from the last hour with the Yankee fans that wanted to chime in on everything from Ben Rice and what position he's going to be, a first baseman DH. If the Yankees get him up to speed to be the backup catcher, I'd be surprised. I wouldn't hate it. But, you know, Val said these are good problems to have. It doesn't hurt to have veterans. I love right now that the Yankees have a good mix of young guys and veterans. Because when they come together, it's the knowledge and experience and then the youthful exuberance and just the bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young guys like Ben Rice and Will Warren that are just happy to be there and Jason Dominguez and Brace the Martian, like, mixed in with Judge and Goldie and Belly and, you know, here comes Stanton and DJ again. And I've been saying this all season. The Yankees seem to always have a short bench where when you get late in the game and you're playing chess with their bullpen versus who you can pinch hit off the bench, we're not pinch hitting Pablo Reyes. You know, you much rather want to be able to, you know, put somebody in a game like a Ben Rice late, or a DJ LeMahieu if DJ returns somewhat to form. I'm not expecting him to be what he was. If he can be 50% of what he was, like DJ was getting MVP votes not that long ago. If he could be 50% of what he was, it's going to help this lineup. If he can put bat to ball and not strike out, if he could work some walks, if he could slap some singles, get on, Judge is on one, like, you know, we'll get there. They're not going to quit on Volpe. They're not going to quit on Jazz. It is early. These are everyday players. But you as a fan are allowed to express your concern. And we as fans are supposed to talk amongst ourselves. The organization's not listening. Maybe they are. Hi, anyone from the Yankees that might be tuned into the show. I'd be lying if I said they didn't listen. But they're not listening, thinking about what to do with the team. Robbie's in Lennox. Robbie, you're on the Fan. Robbie, what's going on, man? You watching Rangers highlights? You know Robbie's a big Rangers fan. I know he saw that Chris Drury. Chris Drury's got the extension, Robbie. You with us? Nope. I'll leave him on hold. What's up with that, though? I saw the response to the Rangers bringing back their GM, Chris Drury, and giving him that extension. And the response wasn't good. You know, I follow Ross in Bergen County on Twitter, and he's got the number one comment, and his comment is, "I'm killing myself." And it's got 247 likes. He's a kid. He's joking. He's not being serious at all. But the Rangers tweeted out, Chris Drury agrees to multi-year contract extension. And they tried to slide it in there at 5:01 as a scheduled tweet. It exploded on Twitter. It's got almost 800 views, and it's not a video. It's just a link to the article. And I don't know. The way that this Rangers season went, you would think that heads got a roll, but they did, Peter Laviolette. And, yeah, the Rangers announced today that president and general manager Chris Drury has agreed to terms on a multi-year contract extension. I am pleased that Chris will continue to lead the Rangers hockey operations in his role as president and GM, says James Dolan. So, hey, you know, patience here. And I don't know, but I think there's a lot of people that were upset about that news today. I guess in this hour, Rangers fans can chime in about their future and what's going on with that and how do you feel. And, I mean, I guess, you know, he's got to hire the next coach. And he's also got to make some moves with this team. And you don't want to completely start over. You don't want to completely roll heads. And I don't know, maybe James Dolan has confidence in him. And you know something I was thinking too with Dolan and the Knicks? And even, you know, that first playoff game, I saw Steve Cohen there. This is the, like, stay down till you come up stuff that I always talk about as fans. Stay down until you come up. It'll come around. Giants fans, stay down till you come up. The Giants might be able to get Abdul Carter and Jackson Dart. Or if they're really crafty, they might be able to get Abdul Carter and Shedeur Sanders tomorrow. And that'll be the masterful draft that I'm talking about that Joe Shane needs to win the fan base over after last year. 888-808-1019. We're still talking about the Yanks. I don't know where Robbie is, but here comes Jerry out in Jersey. What's up, Jerry? You're on the Fan.
What's up, Chris? Love your show.
Thanks, man.
I want to just, it gets me so nervous how this Yankee lineup entire, if it's not Rice, Goldie, or Judge, nobody is hitting. And I think what the Yankees got to do right now, Volpe, he's a young talent. He's a good defender. I think the Yankees got to put him back to AAA right now for 2 weeks, let him swing, change his swing up, get him, you get hanged fastballs down the middle, and he's just not swinging and not hitting the ball. They got to get him going. Even though he's a good defender, we'll lose a couple games here, but we're in April now, you know.
He hasn't been in AAA in 3 years, you know? Like, they're not just going to send him the triple. They're not going to send him down. They wouldn't send him down his rookie year.
What they did with Kyle Schwarber, right? They sent him down to AAA for a couple of weeks, and he came back, and he was amazing.
Yeah, but that was years after, and he was older. I think the only way you see that is if there's some type of injury. And you don't want your shortstop being injured. Then what do? Then we're going to be relying on Peraza every day? Peraza not that much better at the plate, even though some Yankee fans are crying for Peraza, which I don't understand. They're not going to send Volpe down. They're just not going to do it. They told him as a rookie, hey, you're the guy the whole way. You're gonna take your lumps up here, and he's still taking them.
They're saying let him just right now, just let him play and let him do whatever and just let him bat 185.
But they're not letting him do whatever. James Rawson or whoever behind the scenes, I'm sure they're talking to him. Boone, I'm sure they're watching his at bats. I'm sure he's looking at the iPad after he strikes out. And now with this off day, I just think he needs to reset. We'll see how he plays in Yankee Stadium this weekend. He's going to face three good pitchers this weekend. But like I said, the short porch will help. Some home cooking helps. Volpe's got one of the loudest roll calls. Like, he's one of us. The fans do support him and love him. And I really don't expect anybody to turn on him in the stadium. And I don't expect the Yankees to quit on him either. He's just got to break out of it. We need more. We expect more.
All right. Okay, thank you. I want to just give a shout-out to my guy, Dan, who's a big Mets fan. And he's loving it out there.
Yeah, we've all got friends like Dan. Thanks for the call, Jerry. You know, my Mets fan friends text me, and I just swipe left and delete the text. I'm like, you guys know I'm watching. I'm paying attention. Like, you're not giving me any updates. There's nothing happening with the Mets that you're bringing to the table. Like, I see. I know what's going on. Congrats. Welcome to the big show. Speaking of the big show, Ross in Bergen County was listening. Ross, what's up, man? You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? speak of the devil, talking about Jury, no pun intended with your devils, but unbelievable, dude. Look, and I talked about this on Twitter. I would be surprised if he lives out the full term of this contract. Cause, I mean, look at this rat race. It's par with the course. People get fired prematurely. The last two coaches, 2 years, the way we ran Barkley, Goodrow out of town, and then Trouba right after him. I mean, basically forced both of their hands, especially the way Trouba got out the whole thing with his wife and everything. But it's just a disgrace, the fact that they saw anything to warrant him coming back in the first place, too. And I think it starts with Dolan. Right, how much, you know, especially, I wouldn't say these past couple of years, because now you see the Knicks are thriving, but how many years did we say when the Rangers were promising the Knicks win the dump, at least Dolan doesn't touch the Rangers? And it was that one fateful day when Tom Wilson made Panarin and Buchnevich his you-know-what, his female dog, and the rest was history. Obviously, he fired Gorton and Davidson right then and there. And while I wasn't the biggest fan of Gorton, Davidson I thought should have stayed. But, you know, regardless, it was the, you know, change of scenery for all of them. And now all this, you know, all these multiple Eastern Conference Finals appearances and whatnot. And this is the one thing I ask, you know, if the two Eastern Conference Finals aren't enough for Gallant and Laviolette to stay, then why are they enough for Drury to stay? And especially even after the first one, I said heads had to roll after we got absolutely slapped around by your Devils at blowing the 2-0 lead. I see Devil fans, you know, talking about game one the other night, losing 5-1. You lost 5-1 to a twice, and we still found a way to blow the series. And Gallant was the one that got shown the door. Why wasn't it Drury right then and there? It should have been Drury right then and there. And yet we went through this. If anything, we went through even worse with Laviolette, because we had the same first season. And even though Gallant embarrassed himself round one of the playoffs, at least he got there. And while I'm not the biggest fan of Laviolette, I think it's the same go-around.
I'll tell you this, Ross. It's about relationships. It's about relationships. James Dolan is happy to bring him back, and I'm guessing he's got a good relationship. He doesn't have a relationship with you as a fan, and like I said, the reaction on Twitter had me cracking up with what people were saying reacting to the news. But hey, he's giving him another shot because that's his guy, and he feels like this 1 year was an aberration or an off year and that they'll bounce back. And yeah, in business, you'll find the relationships behind the scenes. Some of these guys are untouchable. You have a terrible season like this, run it back.
Well, my bad. I stopped short. My father was calling me. I heard beep, beep. I thought you cut me off. It's my father calling me on the other line. That's my bad. But, I mean, if you look, it's not just from the fans. I don't know if you remember Brian Boyle. I think he played with you guys for a couple of years. He started – I think he was our first – we were his first stint, if not one of his first longtime player, played for like half a league, and now he's an analyst. And even he was ripping Mika and them a new one. He was basically being around the bush. He didn't name drop Mika, but you could clearly tell because Mika's talking about, like, well, I signed the deal here. We agreed to a deal, and, you know, I'm here for the long run and whatnot. He's telling him, basically, worry about what you got to do. You got to go out on the ice, make plays, score goals. And I was even called you the other day and said, if anything, I give him and Kreider credit, because while the problem with this year was so many players underperforming, you can't say the same about those two because they're flat-out dog crap. Even when they were going out there winning President's trophies, they were playing awful. I can't say they were underperforming because that's just who they are. And those, and when you're talking about Kreider is pretty much gone, but when you're talking about Mika still got multiple years left on his deal, supposed to be a big part of this team, it doesn't matter who you bring in. And talk about the coach, by the way, Joel Quenneville is the guy I really wanted. I don't know if you remember the scandal with Chicago a couple of years ago, but it was him and Stan Bowman were the two. Stan Bowman got reinstated. He's with Edmonton now. So technically, Quenneville could come back and coach. If you want to bring in retreads, that's the one you bring back. You don't bring back the guy in John Tortorella who'd be here for the third time now. He was here for like half a season in 2000, and then the last couple of years, like early 2010s. I heard someone bring up Alain Vigneault, Peter DeBoer. If he gets fired by Dallas, he's the epitome of someone who will bring you to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose. And it's just such a freaking joke that we had Chris Knobloch let him walk to Edmonton midseason, and he brought them to Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Finals. But hey, Keith, we're just a walking laughingstock, dude. And I don't know if Drury's going to be here for the next month. I don't know if he's going to be here for multiple years, but the fact that he gets to watch another preseason game, let alone regular season game, as our GM is a freaking disgrace. It's why this franchise deserves nothing and has won.
Just enjoy the Mets. The Mets are good. Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. I was reading a tweet and another quote from Dolan that said, "While we're disappointed in what transpired last season, I'm confident in his ability to guide us to success." So Chris Drury's got a good relationship with James Dolan, where James Dolan's like, "I'm not firing this guy, and then I got to hire another guy. I'm trying to watch the Knicks." All right. break time again. We got a full rack of calls from Rangers, the Yankees, and we're going to start to get into a little bit of the Giants conversation as well. The draft is tomorrow. The Knicks are back on the floor tomorrow. The Yankees and Mets are off tonight, and they're off tomorrow, but this is New York and New York Sports Talk. Keith McPherson, you're listening to The Fan. I'll be right back. That New York state of mind. Thinking about the Mets. Thinking about the Yankees. Simultaneously thinking about the Knicks, the Rangers. What the Jets and Giants are going to do in the draft. It's the most wonderful time. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Another 5-hour KM to AM. Moving right along here. Got to hammer the phones because I'm getting a ton of calls. And now we're in the flow of things where everything is on the table as we get more into the conversation around the NFL draft and the Knicks playing the Pistons. And obviously we started off with the Mets and the Yankees. So if you missed anything, rewind in the free Odyssey app back to...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
9 p.m. or just stay right here and enjoy the show. Robbie and Lennox, let's see if Robbie's ready this time. What's up, Robbie?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. Goodness,
all good. It sounded like you were literally watching Rangers highlights.
No, I was watching the Colorado-Dallas game.
You're watching the Stanley Cup.
I was watching the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, playoffs.
The Stanley Cup. Yes, the Stanley Cup playoffs. I'm telling you, Keith. I'm not having my Rangers. Oh, by the way, when I thought Jury got an extension, I thought it was on his house. I mean, I was ready to jump off the roof. What is going on here? Yes, it's the James Dolan School for the Blind, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's like, hey, Chris, come on in my office. Gee, thanks, Mr. Dolan. Yeah, we're getting an extension for that fine season you just rewarded us with. As you went on, you got like four or five, grade Z defensemen here. And what else did you do? I mean, all right, you got JT Miller. He's 33. So now we're going to build an organization. I can't really go on because Ross, I hate the word stole my thunder. It's probably the first time in 38 years on this station, Keith, that I actually said stole my thunder. But, if Ross had to put up with that team as much as I had to put up with them for 54 years, Ross, you're going to be old and gray, but you're going to look like me. I'm 60 now, and I put up with the Rangers. Anyway, just to talk about our Yankees, to get rid of the Rangers, but I don't know what they're going to do. I can't really go on about this team. You know what I want? I want a young coach. I'd love to get the guy from the University of Denver, get a young coach with a young attitude, bring in the general manager. I wish they could bring in the general manager that can evaluate talent, because this guy can't, obviously. And we don't know where this organization is going. But I got to ask you real quick about two things real quick. Okay, the Yankees. We're talking about Anthony Volpe. No, they're not going to send him down. But would you talk to Derek Jeter? Not you personally.
I would love to. Never got the opportunity.
Hey. It's like, hey, Derek, it's Keith McPherson. Hey, man, come on.
I've been close. I just never have gotten to meet the guy.
I was going to say, invite him up and say, and bring John Sterling along so we can talk about the Jeterian swing, because that's what Volpe needs to do. I'm tired of watching him uppercut with his cockamamie. Oh, there's a great term. With this nonsensical uppercutting the baseball, this like exit velocity, launch angle garbage. Please, Anthony, do me a favor. Choke up on the bat. What they used to tell me was Little League baseball. Choke up on the bat and take the ball the opposite way. Because this kid has to do it. I like him. Believe me, I think he can do it. I don't want to see him go down. The other thing is Austin Wells. The problem with the Yankees is they just have too many guys hitting with low averages. You gotta make contact more. And the other thing is too, can we get Gil back? That's the thing. When Gil comes back, that's the thing. It's a starting rotation. I guarantee you, though, Keith, when it comes to trade deadline, Brian Cashman will find a way to get at least some kind of fourth starter innings if they can't do something. But to me, it's a young team. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, would you rather see Jason Dominguez? Would you rather just see him be a left-handed bat? Because to me, he just doesn't bat well right-handed. I know he did get a hit.
No, he's had some success from the right side of the plate. I think they got to keep letting him find it and figure it out. I think it's a weapon for us to have a switch hitter. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, too, please, God, please bring us Abdul Carter to bar if you're a Giants fan. I just want to see him play. And somebody talked about, was it you talking about Abdul Carter maybe getting him and Shadar Sanders and maybe getting him?
I think there's a thought materializing that the Giants are going to trade back into the first round and take the dropping quarterback, whether that's Shadar Sanders or Jackson Dart, and that would be a masterful first night of the draft for a franchise that needs it to get a quote-unquote generational talent in the pass rusher, Abdul Carter from Penn State, and get the quarterback of the future in the first round.
That would be unbelievable. That would make me happy as a Giant fan, the first game 1972. And Keith, thanks for the time. Always great to talk to you. God bless, man.
Thanks for the call, Robbie. Yeah, we are going to play some audio from Abdul Carter, who is out in Green Bay and being interviewed. And obviously the Giants reporters are out there, and they're point blank asking him about playing in New York and being a Giant and, you know, his ties to Philly, being from Philly and being an Eagles fan, and what it would mean to, you know, be selected by the Giants. And the guy's already out there with the Louis Vuitton shades looking like a superstar. So I think if he's there at three, if it goes Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, they're going to punch the ticket to get Abdul Carter. But that doesn't mean they're out on the quarterback. 888-808-1019. Shadar Sanders, something is going on with the betting. And I want to put some bets on. I'll be on tomorrow during the draft. I want to put some bets down because I'm like, man, I was looking at Michael Penix Jr. last year, and I'm like, MPJ, like I don't know how far he's gonna drop because, like, he's like that. I'm like, I don't know who's going to draft him, but if you would have put some money on him to go eighth overall to the Falcons, like, you would have cashed that. I don't think Shador is slipping that far. I think there is a lot of negative propaganda about Shadar Sanders for a reason. And you know what's funny? There's a clip, and I got to go try and find the clip, too. I'll work on it either during the break or have Connor look for it. You know, Deion Sanders said early in this process, you know, why are you the only one they hating on, son? Because they want you to slip and fall to their team. You know, like, he knows how the game goes. Like, somebody's looking at Shadar Sanders and his good qualities and saying, we could work with that. It might be Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, but I don't think he's going to fall all the way to 21. I think if you want Shador, quarterbacks, there's always a run on quarterbacks. We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. I'll get to it. These quarterbacks are not one falls. It'll be a Will Levis type. And then you see Will Levis in the NFL, that's why he fell. But, like, look at Anthony Richardson. All the hype around Anthony Richardson, and he got taken, what, fourth overall? Just look at last year, the first three picks were quarterbacks. And if there's a guy you like or you think you could work with, like Sean Payton looking at Bo Nix is like, all right, this guy played at Oregon. This guy played at Auburn. This guy played 4 years of college football. Yeah, I could work with him. I could work with him. Draft him. Even the Falcons. When Raheem Morris was at the Combine last year, he said, I only got this job because we've had terrible quarterback play. So that was like a little bit of an inkling that they weren't going to hitch their wagon just to Kirk Cousins. They were always in the market for a quarterback. And then you heard the stories about Raheem Morris going to the University of Washington and working out Michael Penix Jr. and it being rainy and Michael Penix Jr. didn't care. And Raheem Morris standing there pretending to be a linebacker so that he could feel, you know, how hard Michael Penix Jr. threw the ball. And they knew back then they were taking him. We didn't all know. So, yeah, somebody knows who they want, whether it's Jackson Dart, which we're hearing some rumblings with the Giants, or Shadar Sanders. The Giants know which one of those guys they want, and they know where they got to get to be able to select them. You want to win the day? You want to win the draft? You want to win your fan base back? Joe Shane, take Abdul Carter and then find a way to trade up from 34th overall or whatever pick it is in the second round or whatever you have to give. Because if you have to give something that seems like too much at the moment, But you get the quarterback of the future, no one's going to go back in time and be like, well, you gave up the second round pick and the 2026 second round pick and the third round. Like, no one's going to care if you get the actual guy. And Daniel Jones is gone. The Giants need to have a young guy that they can, at least in their mind, fans in their mind, could be like, yeah, Jameis, whatever. Russell Wilson, 1 year. Jameis might be terrible. Russell might be hurt. But you know what? There's a young guy in the building that gives us hope for the future. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Mike in Tom's River. Mike, thank you for holding.
Hey, Keith, sorry, I had to switch over my phone there, buddy.
No, I know. I saw you. I was trying to get to you. We had some breaks. Like I said, thanks for holding. Let's continue the conversation about the New York Yankees.
Yeah, man. So, you know, a couple things. My wife always yells at me for being a half as glass full type of guy. So I want to start off tonight with being more on the positive note. A couple things. First and foremost, and you brought it up earlier today, Rodon delivered. That's two starts in a row, really solid. He's had three really good starts out of five this year. So I feel like he's, you know,
he turned the corner
up a little bit.
He looks like he had to go through those couple bumps in the road, and somebody talked to him and said, listen, dude, it's a long season. You know, have some confidence about yourself. And he's had it his last two outings.
Yeah, man. I mean, it you know, he's got the stuff. You look at him, 97-mile-an-hour fastball, wipeout slider, the change is developing, all those things. The guy can be a stud. He's got the makeup of a stud, but it's always that one or two pitches that just puts him in a bad spot. And I think today a couple mound visits that kind of maybe hopefully change things, and he's
needed.
Turned the corner. But
needed.
Absolutely. One guy who I feel like hasn't been spoken about and his, you know, first, you know, month into the season here, not even a full month yet, but Max Fried, guy's stud. Definitely. Like,
yeah, we don't have to talk too much about him because we've just been impressed with him. He's gone out there and done his job and been worth every penny so far. He's been excellent.
Hell yeah. Now I got to go to the other side. you know, today, first inning, you come up, and these are the little things that you were saying before. You know, the Tutarian swing that, the other caller mentioned before.
Robbie, but, yeah.
Little things here, man. At first inning, you know, they could have put a dent up, you know, where Rodon just comes out in the first inning. It's like, hey, smooth sailing. I got a 4-run lead. He had a 2-0 lead with second and third, nobody out. You make two outs there on ground balls. You score runs. And I said this to a buddy of mine a couple weeks ago. Jazz is going up there swinging out of his shoes all the time, man. And I'm a big supporter of Jazz. I love his energy. I love the guy's got the talent, the speed. But
got to lock
a
in.
Drive
Mike, I'm with you, bro, because I was thinking the same thing. Like, the game just started. We're having early success. We don't need you to homer right here. He struck out on three
exactly.
pitches. Having at bat, put the ball in play. A ground ball scores a run, or if you hit the ball into the outfield, it's a sack fly. I saw him do that the other day, hit a sack fly. Where is that out? And then Volpe, 4-pitch strikeout. Wells, 5-pitch strikeout. They go down three in a row like that. I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm like, somebody from the dugout yell, like, hey, slow it down.
We know strikeouts are part of the game now, but there, bat on the ball, hit the ball to the middle of the infield, you got an easy run. Take the stress off the starting pitcher, changes the whole course of the game from the you know, through those middle innings there. But, you know, guys have been carrying the team, obviously Judge, Goldie, Ben Rice, stud. Any chance you think that guy's taking ground balls at third base behind the scene?
No.
A lot of catchers go to third base.
I don't think he profiles as a third baseman. I don't think the Yankees would try it. I think, you know, we've been talking about it for like 2 weeks now on The Fan, and I believe Tiki had mentioned it, but Tiki said something like he saw a picture of Ben Rice at third base at some point. I didn't see that picture. I don't know. He's not a third baseman. They're not going to run him out there, because if you actually think about how many other guys that could play at third base, and with the defensive philosophy change of the Yankees being a better defensive team this year, they played Jazz at third base last year, and Jazz is more athletic. They have Cabrera, Peraza, Pablo Reyes, DJ coming back. They have so many guys that they can play at third base. If Ben Rice could play third base, they would have already had him there. I think if anything, they're trying to get him up to speed potentially. And I think it's like a 20% chance to be the backup catcher and replace J.C. Ascar.
I hear you. It was interesting the other night. I saw DJ's first game Somerset, second base.
Yep, I saw the highlights of it.
Okay. I don't know. Interesting. I thought maybe coming back first game be DH or third base, middle infield. He hasn't played second base for the Yankees in how many years?
He's going to play third base, but I wouldn't mind them giving Jazz a day and putting him at second base if he gets going.
I got you.
But yeah, DJ Homer to almost dead center. There was another clip of him driving in a run, and I'm like, okay, I know it's minor leagues. I know it's Somerset Patriots, but I am willing to be fooled again. I am willing to let DJ LeMahieu fail again, because it's not like we're getting the most production out of third base. Cabrera's been good, but it's not like DJ can't potentially be as good, if not better.
I don't know. I feel like that error or the other on Sunday kind of opened the floodgates.
There you go. That too.
But
it's funny you mentioned that.
With Devin Williams,
just wanted to get this thought in because I had this thought over the weekend, but I wasn't on. With Devin Williams struggling, your thoughts become things, and these guys got to back him up. That started to happen to Clay Holmes last year. Clay Holmes was running into trouble with them not fielding outs, with the plays being there and not being made, because it's like this thought comes into everyone's head like, oh, this guy hasn't been sharp, he's going to blow it. And, you know, Cabrera had that little mistake, and then you saw what happened after that. Go on, Mike.
Well, that was like I think it was a stat that came up yesterday. Yankees made like three or four errors in the last few games, right? But I think three of them were on Cabrera at third base. So, like,
you gotta make the throws. He made up for it when he started that double play from his back. But no, we gotta lock in. Like, ninth inning, Devin Williams on the mound, Clay Holmes on the mound, Luke Weaver on the mound. We gotta lock in, and we gotta make those plays behind those guys. They need that help. They need it for their confidence.
100%. The last thing I just wanted to say, I was belly laughing earlier when you were talking about the Mets fans. That's my whole thing. I'm almost 50 years old. The Mets have never been a blip on my radar. They're the Mets. At the end of the day, they're the Mets. Their fans are what drive me crazy. they're laughable. Like you said earlier, at the end of the day,
especially
the young ones, they're nerds. Yeah, that's what.
Thanks for the call, Mike. They're corny. They're nerds. Relatable. Like the young ones, I don't understand. Like you've never seen anything. I can understand the older Met fan that tells me that the Mets used to run the city, and you weren't alive for the 80s and all that other stuff, and it'll come back around again. Stay down till you come up. But these younger Met fans that I deal with online that are like 15 to 25, where do y'all get off talking to me? It's just so lame and so corny, and it never ends. It's like always reaching for any. I'm like, all right, just yesterday I go live, and I put out the video that I'm going live, and I didn't write that the Mets won and the Yankees lost. I titled it, I titled Mets can't lose, Yankees lose again, Devils are done. And just the replies, I can go to the replies now. Out of nowhere, it's just all these people, like, not even people. They're young, anonymous Mets fans that are Yankee haters that live in my replies and mentions. It's funny. Some of them tell me to stop talking about the Mets. Don't talk about the Mets. I'm coping, or like, and that's another thing too. I'm not gonna give you that satisfaction because I don't feel this way. Like I have no problem with the Mets winning. I'm watching the games. I'm listening to the games. I'm following the games. I have a drop that Paulie clip where I say I don't hate the Mets. These are my Mets. I've never watched the Mets more than now. I didn't grow up watching the Mets. Like Mike just said, they're the Mets. When I was a kid, I'm like, they're the Mets. I'm not watching SNY. I'm not watching the Mets, bro. That's not me. Like, I'm not into that. That's not my cup of tea. That's for you. That's what you do. I don't go over there. I don't go there. I don't do that. But now, it's part of the job. And it's funny. It's like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If I don't say anything about the Mets, it's, oh, a guy never says anything about the Mets. If I am complimentary of the Mets, It's like the Mets win. You can't stand it. I'm like, no, actually, I'm watching the game. I'm enjoying this. Like, it's good baseball. Oh, yeah, right. It's probably killing you inside that the Mets are winning. No, it's not. I'm actually writing notes and, like, getting prepared to do an open about how great this is and, like, how I saw it coming. But I, you can't win. You can't win, you know. It's they're so quick to say that the Mets run the city and the Mets are big bro and Citi Field is the place to be and, look at this. Don't you wish Soto was a – nah, dude. The season just started. Calm down. Relax. Relax a little bit. Relax. If the Mets beat the Yankees, then I'll be mad. If the Mets win a World Series before the Yankees do, then I'll be mad. I don't care that you swept Philadelphia. I was rooting for you to beat the Phillies. I wish nothing but misery on Philly sports fans. I think in my open, I said, I just was watching Phillies fans come to George M. Steinbrenner Field and do the E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles chant during the spring training game. I'm like, they're mad obnoxious. I don't care that y'all beat the Phillies. Beat them every single time. I'll be rooting for you. Let's go out west. I think he might be out west. Mark in California, back on the fan.
Yeah, no, I'm back here in California. But yeah, just talking everything. First, he's talking Rangers, okay? So I was listening to the last caller that was talking about the Rangers. You need to cut Drury some slack here, okay? Here's why. I'm not a big fan of Drury. But listen, I can name off the top of my head right now because, man, you know, Keith, I know my sports, man. Like, when I talk to you, people listen, okay? Jim Neal traded a first-round pick for Niles Lundqvist, okay? Remember that? I don't know if you do, but I do. Bill Zito traded a first and Spencer Knight for Seth Jones, okay? Doug Armstrong let Alex Pintrago walk so he could sign, Torey Krug, who is trash, by the way. Then Julian Brisbois traded a first, a second, a third, a fourth, and a fifth for Tanner Janot. So everyone's getting on Drury. Listen, we all knew that Kreider was going to take a step back. We all knew Mika was going to take a step back. We all knew the Barkley trade wasn't going to work, right? We all knew that was happening. Did we see Kreider's fall off going from the third best power play team to 18th to going from scoring 30 goals? The 45 goals last year, it's a big drop-off. Did we see that? No, we didn't. But that's why Drury is trying to find a trade for him. The way he handled the trade is an issue. We all agree with that, the way he let people go, the reason with the locker room, all that stuff, right? But Mika stunk this year. Both goalies stunk. You're going to opportunely look for trades, especially when the Rangers were 12-4-1. Right? We all thought they were going to go to another, you know, have another great season. 12-4-1 is a pretty good record to start the season, right?
Yeah, I all I'm going to say is I know that these GMs make mistakes. I know that they don't play. They try and do the best that they can. Again, it's about relationships. The owner wants him back to continue on. He might be wrong for that. Fans might disagree with that. We can go over the history. We can go whatever it is, what it is. This was a laughable season for the Rangers coming off of, you know, the runs that they had over the last couple years. But, like, I do understand letting this guy continue to cook, right? He's trying to prepare a new meal. He started to put the ingredients together. It doesn't taste like anything yet, but the meal isn't done. So let him finish doing what he's doing.
Listen, the thing is like, he wasn't wrong to want Goodrow out of here. He wasn't wrong to move Trouba. He wasn't wrong to recognize that, even though when things were going well at the start of the season, this core of players just wasn't doing anything discernibly different from past years, right? This was a ticking time bomb, like waiting to happen. Like the Yankees, every single year they go to the playoffs and just can't hit the big ball, right? It's just bound to happen. You don't do anything to correct it. It's going to continue to happen. So now that we're done talking Rangers, that's done. I actually have a really, really big story I want to talk about Jackson Dart, because I was hearing that the Giants were interested in Jackson Dart. They were interested in him with the Ole Miss connection. Now here's the problem with that, okay? Like, I like Jackson Dart, but you want to know who he reminds me of as a prospect? Eerily similar. Like, look at his stats. They're so similar. Can you take a guess?
I don't know.
Paxton Lynch. Remember him?
Paxton Lynch. Yes.
Remember Paxton Lynch?
He was a lot taller, more of a straight up and down pocket passer. Jackson Dart can boogie a bit. Like, he's a little, he's got a little run game to him. He can shake. He can, he can kind of scramble a little bit.
You're going to say I'm your best call. You ready for this? Do you ever notice that a lot of the quarterbacks that don't make it, you weren't paying a lot of attention to in college, and they suddenly get really hot, like, after they stop playing college football? And I'll name some. E.J. Manuel, Blake Bortles, Paxton Lynch.
I told y'all this was – I was on the night of the Tax Slayers Gator Bowl, I think it was, when Jackson Dart played against Duke. One, it's Duke. You don't draft a quarterback out of Duke. But anyway, that night, Duke was without like three or four of their starters because of NIL and the bowl game or whatever. And he put up like 300 yards and three touchdowns and balled against Duke. And I'm like, here it comes. This is how it starts. No, he's going to rise up the draft charts. And here we are the night before the draft. And there's rumors that, oh, Brian Daboll likes him better than Shador Sanders.
Dude, Giants overcompensate. Listen, we know as football fans who the best college football players are going into their last year. We already know who.
Yeah, there's nobody. I mean, unless it's like Joe Burrow when he balled out like for that 1 year with LSU. But like for the most part,
you take a look at Andrew Luck's tape and you knew he was going to be a good starting quarterback in the National Football League. Like you knew it. You just knew. You took a look at, you know, Washington Commanders quarterback, Jaden Daniels. You looked at his tape and you're like, wow, this kid's the real deal. J.J. McCarthy has improved.
It was Caleb Williams and Drake May for 2 years before they got to the draft.
I'm not sold on Caleb Williams at all. I think he's trash.
You're about to be. You're about to be. He's going to be different with Ben Johnson.
And oh, man.
There's some rumors. There's rumors around them drafting either Tyler Warren or if Ashton JT falls.
You got to add pieces. Well, hey, at least they're adding pieces because the Giants don't seem to be doing that. It took them how many years to find a number one receiver in Malik Neighbors? You know what I mean? Like they're adding.
But the Giants are about to add pieces literally tomorrow. Thanks for the call, Mark. 888-808-1019. I thought Mark was going to talk about the Mets. His topic was, I'm tired of the Yankees being called Lil Bro. But, you know, he said he talks sports and people listen, so he went in on the Rangers. Then he went to Jackson Dart and the Giants, and we can do that. We've got plenty of time. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Approaching midnight. I'll say good morning on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I got two more hours. I promise it'll be lit.